Right, Devon Funds Management, Greg Smith, morning to you.
Morning to you, Mike.
Prefu, what do you make of it?
Oh, geez. Look, on the face of it, not too many big surprises, but I think you don't have to scratch too far to see some pretty big assumptions. Just quickly, the warm fuzzy stuff, obviously the economy is expected to grow a modest 2.6% over the next 4 years, so it's going to be $4 billion bigger than those previous forecasts back in May, helped by high migration. Not so good news. Deficit this year up to $10 billion, up from $6.9 billion the budget. Next year, $11.4 billion, up from $7.6 billion. The operating surplus, that's not going to happen until 26, 27, so that's been pushed out by 1 year. And basically, government's books are going to be in the red for 7 years, so that's a year longer than during the GFC. Soft growth in the labour market, we've got the unemployment rate going up 5.4%, nearly 2025. Inflation, that's going to be higher for longer. So I think that was a pretty key part, and obviously there's implications for higher rates. And of course, you know, given our debt load is also increasing, so you know, for 2027 we're looking at $193.3 billion, so it's nearly 40% of GDP. So
is that all?
As I mentioned, I think the main things are the assumptions, aren't they? So the borrowing numbers, they don't include infrastructure spend. You think the light rail project, the Waitemata crossing. There's obviously economic headwinds. We've got falling tax revenues. And also, basically, if you look at the assumptions on operating allowances or new day-to-day spending, they're saying that through to 2036 that it's going to be less than what the government's averaged each year during its term. You've got, population pressures, you know, with that migration, but just a growing population, so that's going to add a bit of pressure as well, and just not really any wiggle room for further spending. They're going to have to sort of cut it somewhere else, or see higher levels of debt, which would have rating implications as well. And that all flows through to higher bond issuance. So $129 billion the 4 years to 26-27, up $9 billion from the budget, $29 billion more than December, but obviously we had the cyclone and weather events. And issuance is going to increase by just over $49 billion over the four-year period. So that takes it to about $202 billion by 26-27. So I guess suggestions the economy is rebalancing of its own accord. Not so sure about that. And I think it is a bit of a stretch to say we've turned the corner just
correct.
Yet.
Correct. Stephen Joyce and Grant Robertson on that for you this morning. The migration, I've got questions over that as well. I mean, what we seem to forget is a lot of people leaving.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Mike. So, you know, Kiwis are leaving. So net migration loss of New Zealand citizens of 39,400. So they're still looking for sort of greener pastures there. So you look at the overall net migration gain, that was a record in the year to July, 96,200. That eclipsed the previous record back in March 2020, reverses that migration loss of 14,500 last year. So 208,000 people arrived in the country on a long-term basis. So we've got arrivals from India, China and like, also Aussie, US and the UK. You've got student visas, that's also helped. So that's risen to around 28,000. But as you said, sort of Kiwis are leaving on the other side. But yeah, it is heating up, isn't it? And it's plausible we get to 100,000, which is what the government's talking about peaking at, or even 110,000. So that's going to bring a new sort of pressures, isn't it? I mean, it's going to help in the labour market, so that might help dampen wages. But, you know, it could actually add to that inflationary demand. We're already seeing this with housing rents. Just on the other side, stats also talked about, you know, visitor numbers internationally. They're up to 2.6 million in the year to July. See, the FIFA Women's World Cup gave a boost there. Back to sort of 84% in July, 213,800 arrivals, so that's 84% of pre-pandemic levels, but we probably need Chinese tourists to come back a bit more en masse to get back to pre-pandemic levels. But yeah, good for tourism. Overseas visitors are taking longer trips, so 17% of overseas visitors stayed longer than 4 weeks in the year into July, compared to 12% back in 2019. And just quickly, sort of retail spending as well, that rose by 0.7%. That was close to forecasts. But, yeah, we are seeing that population growth. So on a per capita basis,
yep,
it is actually softer. And much of it also reflects higher prices than it. Yeah.
Exactly. What are the numbers, mate?
The Dow's up 64 points, 34,727. S&P 500 down 0.2%, 4,478. NASDAQ down 0.8%, 13,807. Oracle, very weak there on lower revenue forecasts, even though they talk about AI shares, down 14% for the software company. FTSE up 0.4%, Nikkei up 0.95%, ASX 200 up 0.2%, oil up $2, gold down $11, $19.35 an ounce. Currency markets, QE 59. 69 against the US, 91.9 Aussie, 47.3 sterling, NZ 50 flat, down just 3.7 points, 11.298. We've got Briscoe's half year results today. We've got US CPI and Apple's live streaming event is going on for anyone who wants to watch it. New iPhone 15, generic port, new models, a titanium Apple watch, or 95%, and you're all also nice straps. They're doing it in conjunction with Hermes, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, Hermes straps,
and
nice.
You can move without actually touching. You can operate the watch without actually touching the screen. So check that out.
Good stuff, mate. Nice to see you. Catch up tomorrow, Greg Smith, out of Devon Funds Management.